Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. Once I was wretched and blind as could be. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are saved by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed by His blood, given the Spirit of life, given the Word to guide us, O Lord, in this life that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are the children of the living God. We thank you even for today, Lord, that we can come once again out of the week, Father. We want to remember, always remember, the first day of the week, the day of Christ's resurrection, after he had been in the grave, lying there for 3 days and three nights, Lord, and giving us, O Lord, this blessed hope, because without the resurrection, without Him resurrection, no, His resurrection, Lord, then we all would be men most miserable for believing in something that is not real. But we know, Lord, you've given us the revelation, and we have seen the truth, Father. We thank you for opening our eyes, O Father, and giving us this eternal life. Bless now, Father, as you approach thy word once again, that give us a little understanding of the importance, Father, of your holy sacred scripture. We ask that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. We live in a, not only in a world where everything's are so messed up, nations are breaking up, you know. Well, we know Israel is awakening, but we know the things that is happening in the world today. Not just the nation, the political system, even the financial system now is just a mess. And not only that, we know that there are people that are even wicked out there, hacking into somebody's phone and getting information, or hacking into bank system to try to steal the money, and even do all this phishing and scamming, and people are losing money. But the thing that we are concerned with as believers is that we as believers, we should not be messed up with what we believe. The most important thing in our life is the Holy Sacred Scripture. We should understand what it teaches and not be messed up as in many of the as in Christendom today. So when we approach the Word of God regarding this sacred scripture for what we believe, let us approach it carefully, examining the scripture very carefully. And when we read them, we need to know what we are reading. And when you hear a preacher, as Jesus said, take it how you hear and what you hear. So the same thing, we need to take it how we read the scripture and what we are reading when we are reading the scripture. So now on our next part of this series on the sufficiency of the Word of God, talking about some doctrine and how to look at it, we're now dealing with mankind. Or man itself. Alright, let us go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 21. I'm guiding you, because you know, in my study all these many years, back when I was, like in the 60s, studying the scripture, in the 70s, the 80s, and all that years, There are many things that I get to understand the Word of God. Let us not be like some believers who will say that it is not important to talk about doctrines. Yeah, there are churches like this. I was chatting with a brother, and he was telling me when he was in the States, in California, and he was in this fellowship, and he found that the belief, what faith the people were having. And when he asked question of from the pastor or the deacons and the elders, they are not open up to tell the truth. And he found that they do not want to talk about doctrine. They just want to just preach a simple message, quote Brother Branham. And he found out that they actually believe in something that they do not want to propagate, because the church was split into two. He found that there were two groups in that church. One believed Brother Branham's coming back with his ministry again, and the other do not. So we have that church, therefore, is a messed up church, so to speak. And yes, and I pray that our fellowship here, we are not messed up. You know, small little thing in a Bible that we perhaps don't understand or really comprehend, that's okay. You know, or some small thing to disagree about, that's okay. But if there's a major doctrine and major stain, and you don't want to say it, then something is very wrong. That's why if you were to ask, well, in the denomination they have their confession, their creed, that they state very clearly, this is what we believe. Yeah, if you go on a website, you know, where you have a Christian have their own website, you will see. We believe in the Bible. You know, we believe in one true God, and who's a Trinity, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they will mention this. So they make their confession, but they are, we as Bible believers, you know, knowing what truth is, we should make a stand for what believe. But there are some that do not want to confess, and that I think is very bad. And that's hiding and conniving, you know, deceiving the people. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. Who know the spirit of men that go upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So now, we take this verse, and it has a strange kind of a questioning by this preacher. The thing is, who knows the spirit of man? So now you're talking about the spirit of man, and that goes upward, and the spirit of beast that goes downward to the earth. Now, from this verse, we know that there is a difference between the spirit of man and the spirit of the beast. Alright? But further than that, we do not know until we go to other part of scriptures. Okay? Now, the thing is that some people have taken this verse to say that what the preacher is saying here is that when you talk about the spirit of man, it has a soul. When you said about the spirit of beast, it has no soul. Because the spirit of man goes upward to heaven, because God created man in his own image. So he has a soul. But the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth, it means that when it dies, and therefore they conclude that the animal have no soul. Now I am, being that I was from a denomination, I know this doctrine. Only men, human beings have soul. Animals do not have soul. So this has been, well, we can say, tassel a lot of scripturally the truth according to the organized churches. But let us examine carefully what the Bible actually teaches and try to understand this doctrine about the human being or souls issue. All right, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1, 46 to 47. Now, you know, I no longer preach like I used to preach back in when I was 30 years old, 40 years old, or 50 years old, where I would stand and shout and raise, but I preach very fast. And some people complain to me, but again, you go like a train, so we could not catch up. Now, when I go a bit slower, people complain, "Brother God, you no longer preach the way you preach. I don't like it." So, well, what can I say? Too fast, somebody complain. Too slow, somebody complain. Time, you know, that's does not the Bible tell you that there is a time and a season for everything? Huh? Yeah. Time when I was young, but now it's time for me to be old. So it's time for me to go slow and teach you. I can go very fast if you want me to. I can go very fast and you still be complaining I'm not catching up with you, brother God. But now we are learning the scripture a bit more to understand, because we're trying to get to a place where we can grow in the faith to understand that this Bible is very precious. Now, last week I said I'm going to tell you a dream that I forgot to tell. And some text me and said, "Well, again, you forgot to tell." Even my grandson was telling me too, you know, "You forgot to tell Grandpa." And let me tell you this right here in case I forget. You know, I had this dream. I mean, you know, dreams are kind of odd, you know, it just begins from somewhere. So I found myself riding a motorcycle. And when I have a motorcycle back in the early days, back in those days when I was riding motorcycle, I always have a carrier, a black box behind my motorcycle. You know, where you put your helmet, where you put your raincoat, and whatever thing that you want to bring along. So I found myself riding the motorcycle with the black box behind. And I have my backpack, and which I always carry. And so when I was riding my motorcycle, my backpack was in the box behind me, at the back of my, behind me on the bike. And in the backpack is my Bible. So it was there. So when I was running a motorcycle, so I rode and then I came to the car and into the parking space. So I arrived at the parking space and I got out. I got up the bike and Adam was standing there. You know, Adam just popped up. He's always popping out everywhere. And he pops up there and he looked at me and I got up my bike. The moment I got my parked my bike, I turned around to, you know, to look, to, you know, to open my box. Like, when I look at it, it's gone. It's not there. And I start crying out. I said, no. I start shouting, crying like crazy. And then Adam was like, "What's wrong, Grandpa?" I said, my Bible is gone. The first thing I think about is my Bible. You know, this is the only Bible that I always carry with me wherever I go. Now it's already breaking up. And I was just crying out like that, you know. And I just went down on my, I was onto the floor, like kneeling down, crying, "Oh no, my Bible. And then I was crying out. I dripped away from that dream. And you know how dreams are, very strange. I dripped away from the dream, like a camera being pulled back. You know, I found myself in the bed, lying down. It just came out from the dream. I said, "Oh." I was just wondering, what happened? And I said, "Oh, it's just a dream." You know, and that's how I feel about my Bible. And that's why when I travel, I always carry my Bible in my carry-on luggage. Never a check-in, you know. And I just want to have this Bible. I don't want to use an onion Bible or any other Bible. I have several, about a dozen Bibles in my home anyway. Different versions, but always used to this Bible so many years and all the notes are there. So that's how important it is to me when it concerns the Word of God. The Bible is a treasure. Alright. So, Well, let's look in the book of Luke now and just go a little bit slow. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 47 now. Let's see what the Bible says. All right. My soul do, that is Mary singing. All right. My soul do magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. So you see, here the one verse inside in the statement of the song, a magnificat of Mary, he mentioned two words here. My soul magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. So you have the soul and the spirit in the expression of Mary. Alright, then let's go to Hebrew chapter 10 and verse 38. This is what the quoting from the Old Testament of what God said. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So, we know the Bible said God is spirit, right? Amen. You all know that. Don't tell me you all don't know. You know that the Bible said God is spirit. Yeah. Okay. Now, but the Bible also said, God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in those who, you know, draws back. So, question is, if God is a spirit, does he have a soul? So, what is a soul and what is a spirit? Now, this is where we have people who will take one statement from Ecclesiastes and jump to conclusion. My question is this. Do angels have soul? Do angels have soul? Think about it first. If God is a spirit and he said, my soul, do angels have soul then? If angels are created in the image and likeness of God, do they have soul? Common sense will tell you, yes. But what is a soul? Is soul, well, to take for example, if you look at me in this outside, this is a spirit. And then I say, I have a soul. What's the difference between the soul? Is there another part that's inside, you know, that stick to me? So you see the confusion, many people say that, oh, God is tripartite being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, when people start to look into the scripture and start chopping here and there without able to connect them properly, you have a mess. The Bible said there is only one God. And God in the book of Isaiah, many places in Isaiah, God says, I'm He. There's no other God before me. I know not any. There was none before, there was none other after me. So, then what? They say, oh, God is in the Old Testament. He's the one speaking. Then he's a liar. Because he says, I know no other God. There's none before me, there's none after me. If there is a Son and the Holy Spirit, that means God must be lying. God the Father must be lying. Do you understand? Just because, you know, people do not understand that God is a spirit. But when they go to the book of Matthew, they go to the book of the Gospel, and they find, oh, there's a Father, there's a Son, the Holy Spirit. And they start to put God, chop him into three pieces. Or make him out of, you know, one spirit out of him, three spirits. But they say, no, it's not three spirits, it's one spirit. But there are three of them in there, I don't understand. Three persons, they will use the word. And the Bible never says that God is a person. God is spirit. The Bible did not say God is a spirit, it's a person. But the Son of God is a person. Now, that's a difference between person and person, and personality. I already saw this many times. You are a person. You have a personality. You are in the flesh, in this body. God is spirit. Right. He has a personality. Is it not? But is he a person? You are a person. We have the monkey, and we have the chimpanzee in the zoo. Right? Those of you who have animals, dogs especially, they are very friendly. They are each different dogs have different personalities, right? We call that personality means some characteristics. But they are not person. Animals are not person. They have personality, don't make them a person. God is spirit and He has personality and His characters, attributes, so to speak, is love, mercy, goodness, holiness, gentleness, and all that. So don't get messed up. The tripartite of God, there is no such a thing. Only that He manifests Himself, not in three, as Father, Fatherhood, Sonship, when He reveals Himself as Savior, and the Holy Spirit is what He is. Huh? But God actually has more than just been these three manifestations. Did He not manifest Himself as what? Many other you can think of. Healer. Am I not right? Yeah. Healer. Comforter. So there are various attributes of God where He manifests Himself. Not just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all those are expressions. Now, when we look into these verses that we have just read, especially in the book of Ecclesiastes, the spirit of man that goes upward, the spirit of beast that goes downward, so they try to differentiate that the spirit of the beast have no soul, or the animal have no soul. So the only way we want to find out is let's go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that move, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and after wind after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Okay, let us go to then. The verse that I'm looking for is when the flood came and all the animals were killed. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall we not eat? So we are talking about life now, right? Animal life. God created the whale. God created the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. Okay. Now we go to this place where in chapter the flood in chapter 7, verse 4. And yet 7 days I will cause to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the water. Okay, and then in verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. Okay, so now the word here I want you to notice is in all in whose nostril was the breath of life. So now we're talking about the life. Earlier we read the life of the animal that don't eat the blood because the life of the animal is given away up. So what is this life? Whose nostril was the breath of life? So this word here in the Hebrew is nefesh. Now, nefesh is the same as the word soul. You do your search in the Bible study, top the word soul, top the word breath of life, you find the same word. So do animals have soul? For those that know, that's really another problem. So you know, you need to understand that human being is a tripartite being, so to speak. They're trying to use the word a triune being, so to speak. But not in the sense of three person, but three parts. Body, the spirit, and soul. But one thing about the soul we need to understand, and still there are those who do not. The soul, as Bob Bell would define, and I like the way he put the definition, it's very simple. The soul is the manifestation of the spirit. So as I said this before, when God created Adam, he was a spirit being. But how can he manifest the soul? How can he manifest the spirit? There's no manifestation if he doesn't express himself. So he was in the spirit world. Now, how do demons manifest themselves? That's why there's no one demon wanted to possess living things. So in that way, they can manifest, influence, demonize people. Otherwise, they are out there. How do they manifest themselves? You see? Unless they have something to manifest. When God came down to Abraham, he came down in the form of a man. Right? So that Abraham could see him and see his manifestation. But if God is out there as a spirit all the time, you cannot see the manifestation. Only of how he speaks to you or speaks to the prophet. And God can say, my soul means my feeling, my inner being, what I am. Have no pleasure in those who draws back. So now God has in Adam an expression in Adam. But the only way for him to express is to put him on earth, give him a body. And then the Bible said, he became a living soul. Otherwise, his soul is not manifest. It's just like a seed. You take a seed and you say, it's a mango seed, whatever seed may be. If you don't plant it and water it with the sunshine, the air, whatever, how is it going to manifest itself? You just keep the seed on the table for years, it's still be there. So until it comes to a stage where it can manifest, then that's the reason why it is called a soul. So does animal have a soul? Yes. A dog soul. A monkey soul. Like some people, when people cast up the demon and all this, and you see, well, in India, in Africa, you can see how that sometimes, you know, the people manifest themselves and move like behave like a snake. You know, oh, jump around and say, oh, it's a spirit of a monkey. So that is what describes that soul. Manifestation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few more, just the verse to read on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit search all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man know the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So now the question is, what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? So, you are you, I am I. Whatever your feeling is in you, only you know. I don't. Right? The same thing, how do we know? How can we know the thing that is in the Spirit of God? What's the mind of God? Only God Himself knows. But yet God will reveal Himself to us, as Paul here in verse 12 said. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. which is God, that He might know, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So what God gives to us, that is what He revealed to us and what He wants us to know. The thing that is not revealed to us, we do not know. God keep it to Himself. Now we wish that we know everything. There are a lot of things, there are mysteries out there. Huh? And of course we have Branhamites that keep on telling people, Barabbam reveal all mysteries. Barabbam reveal all mysteries. That's because Barabbam mentioned, he talked about, you know, in the last days, and how that messenger will reveal all mysteries. And reading Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, they think that, oh, that is what it means. That's what how Branham might interpret Brother Branham's words. There are many mysteries that we still do not know. Now, science may try to tell you something, right? That's true, huh? Science. Where does water come from? We all know, according to science, is two part hydrogen and one part oxygen. But how does it work to bring about water? So they say, oh, this is how it works. Okay, so now they know the mystery. Right? If you go back into history, how is man able to harness electricity? How is it able? Because when men study, when men probe into it, and then they be able to control electricity. I marvel, you know, when I go to the science center, when I see how that you go into the, what cage is that called?
Faraday cage.
Huh? Faraday cage. Faraday cage or whatever.
Faraday.
Okay, this has gone along there. You know, they go into the cage and all the electricity is just bouncing around and he's not supposed to touch the cage and nothing happened to him. Now, the human being come to this understanding of mysteries of this electricity in the air and how they can harness it, how they can generate that and all these things, you know. But there are still a whole lot more about mysteries. The question is, how did God bring about all this creation? You understand? Where did all these atoms only come from to form the whole universe out of nothing? Well, some people say, very simple, God created. Yeah, I know that God created. He's God created, but the mystery is that how did it work? You know, there are things, as I said, we know about electricity now, how we can control it. And things like that. Even man can't look into the herbs of the field and able to use the herbs of the field to heal the body. Right? There's always a cure out there in the world. In the field out there somewhere. Mankind is still trying to discover. Huh? And look at computer. My goodness, it's quite an achievement. And I read the article that they say every 6 months, you know, they have doubled something, they discover something new, blah 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 blah. And think about it, and Tesla, you know, is they have a new phone, Tesla phone. And they want to plant a chip into your brain and you can control the phone with your brain. Just thinking about it. In your mind, and it works. It's scary, huh? They think it's not possible. Yeah, they are doing it now. They are testing it. All things are possible if you believe. And mankind is able to do it. And that's what the Bible said back then. When sin came into the world, God said, man has become like one of us. Yes, man has become like God. And that's why even man wanted to be worshipped. You know, right? There are so many so-called deity, holy men are being worshipped by people. Go to India, you see it. And we have the biggest church in the world where they bow down to a man and call him Holy Father. And we know there's only one who's the Holy Father. And yet there are other holy fathers. May God have mercy Man wanted to be like God, they usurped the authority or the place of God. Alright, so now you understand when the word, if, as I said, you Google the word soul or breath, you find it in the Hebrew word, you find the word Hebrew, of course, nephesh. And in the Greek word, it's psuche. And when you buy the word, that is the word soul. But when you use the word spirit, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is ruach. And in the Greek word, in the New Testament, is pneuma, which just means wind. So there is a lot of difference. Now, the Bible said, we worship God with our, we worship God in spirit and in truth, right? We worship God in spirit and in truth. Why is it not the Bible said worship God in soul and in truth? Why is it not? What not so? Yeah, God is a spirit. And we are, He given us His spirit, and so there is this connection between our spirit and His spirit. So the word spirit is used. Yes, the Bible did say, my soul magnified the Lord. Yes, we also worship Him. We can say, my soul magnified the Lord. But worshiping in spirit and in truth is the relationship. Our relationship with God is tight because of the spirit. He given us His spirit of life. He quickened us, our spirit which is dead, so that our soul can express. Now, God did not quicken your soul, huh? More or less, with the Bible, use the word spirit. And you can say, yeah, God quickened my soul, but the word to use is, God quickened my spirit. The spirit of mankind is dead, because why? That doesn't know how to express himself to that which God desires. So the spirit of man is dead. So when we are born again, the only way to be born again when God quickens our spirit. So when our spirit is quickened, we have a relationship with God. The relationship between the Father and the Son is the blood. The relationship between God and us, yes, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But that spirit that was given came back to us, connecting us with the Father. Right? Yeah. Okay. Hope that you understand. And we can go to 1 Corinthians, just look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Now, you know, sometime back, a few years back, you know, one brother said, hey, Brother Gail, why don't you put the scripture on the screen so that we can see the verse, you know, that you are reading? I said, oh, so that you can just sit down and not even open your Bible. We are here in the church coming together to study the Word of God. If you are a sinner out there, of course you don't have my Bible, so I have to quote you the Bible verses. And yet if I quote the Bible verses, the person says, what is he quoting? Bible? What is Bible? The Bible is not for a sinner. The Bible is for the believer. Read everywhere you read. Look at Paul's epistle. Right? To the saints, so and so, such and such a place. My beloved, my children, I wrote this for your edification, and so on and so forth. It is God's love letter to His girlfriend. And we are the bride. So the Bible is not for the sinner. And so if you are believers, you come fellowship, you learn the Word of God, you have to open the Bible. Your Bible. Not really from the screen. You see, man has come to a place where it's very, they have become what we call lazy. And I ask you, how many of you, and I can guarantee it very, out of, let me say this, out of 50%, if I ask this question, I am very sure that 45 people or to 48 people don't do it. How many of you have, you know, been reading books? Get a book, buy a book, read it. How many of you do that? Now I'm very sure, 50 people out of 50 people, 45 to 48 people don't read books. Why? Because they have television, they have computer, they have their cell phone, they have everything. Am I not right? You feel guilty, huh? That's why I said, get a book, read it. You know, it's good to hold a book in your hand, physical book. Read it. Yeah. So now people want to, you know, to let somebody else do the words of, you know, to put it on the screen, on the monitor. And even, you see some churches, the charismatic churches and some big churches, they have this big screen projector. The verses, the preacher preach and the project the verses on the wall. And the people go to church, sit there, Bible not open, they just look here, just listen. They are not studying, they are trying to hear, but what about study? That's why my encouragement. Alright, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Yeah, you pray with the Spirit. I pray with my soul. Now, when I pray with the Spirit, yeah, that means that I'm in contact with the Lord. And when I sing with my Spirit, I'm in contact with the Lord. Not sing because I'm just saying, you know. Yeah. You know, you can see children. If you see them in the mall and there's some kind of music that is so, you know, beat up music, you can see the child, you know, they move. And even adult, they move. This is a very natural movement because we are all rhythm. Our body has rhythm. So when there is some kind of a flow with frequency and a sound and all this that we hear, we move. If you go to a field with the wind blowing, with all the leaf blowing, you feel it and you just wonder, you know, move along with the wind and just feel it. The rhythm is there. You know, so if we are in tune with God, we should feel the rhythm and Spirit of God moving in us, and we just worship Him in the Spirit and the truth. Right, and you sing with that. Alright, so my soul rejoices in the Lord, and my spirit sings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's go up and move on to the next subject in thought. What's wrong about when we talk about spirits, we ought to talk about this fourth dimensional world that we can't see with our eyes. We all live in a three dimensional world, huh? The fourth dimensional world is where these spirits are moving. The angels are moving. The demonic spirits are moving. We can't see them because they are in that dimension. We cannot cross that dimension unless God remove the veil, and then we can see in the next dimension. Or even remove more veil, you can see the fifth, sixth, and even to the seventh dimension, if God wants to let you see. So that you might understand it. Alright, so now the thing is this, the question is this, about demons. Because there is a lot of, and I know that in Christianity, there are different approaches to the Word of God, and disagreement and debate. You know, yesterday and the day before, and I was decided to look into on the website and see how some of these people argue. And my goodness, they're actually arguing back and forth over what? Over demon possession. So my question is, right now, when we approach the subject of the doctrines of angels, especially the fallen angels, I want to ask this question. Can Christian be demon possessed? Can a true believer, a born again Christian, be demon possessed? You know, I have spoken about it before. You know, there are people that say that, oh, demon is very powerful. They are just as powerful as God. Yeah, how true is it? You know how the concept is, some people have told, in the past have told me, said, look at this firewalker. You know, there are many religions that get people to walk on fire. Say, look at this firewalker. Their God is true. But we know there are no God, they are demon possessed. And that's why they can walk on the fire. Now, how many of you have seen fire walking? And most of the time these people run across, quickly run across, right? And at the end of it, they put their feet in some, well, milk, usually milk or something that soothes the blister of or the heat. Now, many times they suck it up, yes, there are people need to let you understand there are. Now, because what we believe, what we understand from the scripture, people are demonized. But I want to tell you the story which I think I have told you a long time ago. There was an article I read in a Christian magazine. Back then, you know, I read a lot because of the missionary work that out there by this, the Assemblies of God and some of those true ministers go out there really to minister the word of God. So, there was this testimony I read somewhere in Africa. I can't remember which part of Africa. There was this missionary that had been there for many years, trying to win souls for Christ. And then, of course, in that province, there were, you know, Africa, there's Voodooism and things like that. So they always have this fire walking. And so one particular evening when this cult were worshipping their God or deity, and they have fire walking. So they have this pit of firewood, burning hot. And of course, the devotees came along, each one of them lined up, and then they run across the fire. So the missionaries were there. And there were some people in that place. They, of course, they knew this missionary, and some of them said, well, if your God is true, why don't you walk on the fire? Well, that was, you know, a challenge, right? Can you walk on the fire like these people? You know, that was where, when this minister, this missionary was challenged like that, he doesn't go straight and say, yes, I can do it. No. He is in a prayerful mood. Do you understand? Because when people, you know, he just had the devil telling Jesus, if you are the Son of God, change the stone to bread. Of course, Jesus, here's a challenge, right? Of course I can change it. Want to see what I can do? It's not like that. You know. So, the missionary was praying, in his own time he was praying. And the people were all, you know, worshipping there and walking the fire and so he prayed for a while and then something took a hold of him. You won't believe. He took his Bible in his hand. He said, I was so much annoyed. He, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He went out there to the fire pit and everybody was looking at him. He walked out there and he just walked there slowly. He didn't even run and he stood right there in the fire pit in that burning coal. And he stood there and he preached to them, the people, the gospel. Now, this is of course something for people to see that it is truly amazing. He's not running across, he stood there in the fire. in that pit of hot burning coal. Now you see, the one thing we must always understand, how Jesus said when he prayed, he said, taught the disciple how to pray. One of the things is, he said this, lead us not into temptation. Huh? You see, the devil will come and try to tempt you. God will not lead you into temptation. But God may allow you to go through temptation and see whether you want to be tempted or not. You understand that? So, can Christian be a true born again can be demon possessed? The answer is no. But there have been a lot of argument in the churches. Say yes, it can be demon possessed. A Christian can be demon possessed. And so there's a lot of fight over this argument. And even some will try to tell you from scripture, they've taken scripture out of context, not knowing that they were taken out of context to argue. Now, first of all, we understand that the word, when you read the Bible, your Bible is originally Greek and Hebrew. So when they are translated into English, many times they use the word possess. So and so possess of the devil, right? But the Greek word is demonize. So demonize and possession are quite different. So we need to understand what it actually means. We look into the context. Okay, let us look into some verses of scripture now. Alright, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You know, I have seen I've been to churches, even the anti-message churches here in Singapore. As you know, every time a preacher came from overseas, and there is a prayer call, and you see the same old believer keep on going up to the altar. If there are 5 nights of meetings, you'll probably see out of the 5 nights, 2 or 3 times, the same believer will go up there to be prayed for by the different ministers. First night, one minister preached, second night, I'll preach another one, and the third night, another one. And I could see the same believer go out there to be prayed by different. What is the thing about this? Is it that this believer rely on the faith of the preacher to pray for them? They'll go out the first night for preacher A to pray for them. The second night, the second preacher to pray for them. As if that one of these preachers would have the power to deliver them from their problems. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Look at them. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he just said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldier under me. I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have found not so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Israel, and Isaac and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that same hour. Okay. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 9 to 20. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciple, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And go ye and learn what that meaneth. That meaneth, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think that should be enough for today anyway. And then we go down to verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciple. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For he said within herself, if I may but touch the garment, I shall be healed. And we know the story here, that she touched Jesus' garment and she was healed. Now, I bring out this example to you here, because I want to ask you a question. Let us go to chapter 14 also. Alright. Chapter 14 and verse 34. Chapter 14 verse 34 to 36. Alright. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent him out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched will make perfectly whole. Now, my question is this. These people, as Jesus said, those who are well, those who are whole do not need physician. But those who are sick, they need physician. So all these cases of people that came to Jesus Christ and asked him for healing. My question is this. Did these people believe Jesus Christ to be their Savior? Or to say that they believe him to be God? What do they believe him to be? When we read scripture, man, sometimes we read, oh, this person will be healed, this person will be healed. But do we ever ask ourselves, do these people really believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior? Or that he was the Son of God? And we found out that practically everyone that come to Jesus Christ, they were looking for what? For healing. Because they need a physician. And they believe that he was a great healer. That's all that they believe. Has nothing to do about them believing that he was the Son of God. You see. That's why the woman was issue of blood. Said, bye. Because what he heard, she heard. Say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. And he went to the land of Gennesaret, and the people there heard about Jesus. They called the sick, come. His man is a healer. So they came, and all they do is to believe or touch Jesus. And they were healed. Now, these people who were healed, these people who suffered from disease, with their demon possessed. There are churches that believe that the sinners out there are demon possessed. And that is a really a far-fetched theory, a far-fetched teaching. Doesn't mean that a sinner out there is demon possessed. If it is so, they mean Adam is demon possessed. Huh? And if a man has cancer, does he have a demon? Is he demon possessed? Oh yes, because as the Branham would say, yeah, Brother Branham said so. How did Brother Branham? What did Brother Branham actually say? Huh? We know that when sin came, the body started to die, and as generation passed, the corruption of man and the way that they destroy this earth and the cross breeding, the high breeding, whatever, the inbreeding, as you could see in the Bible, causes all this genetic problem. That's why when we are born into this world, we don't have a choice to choose who to be our father, who to be our mother. And only for the rich up there, you know, in the aristocratic society and the royalty, they will always search to have the prince married a princess whose blood are clean, you know, and have good genes. But in this world, you don't know. Out there, look at India, look at Africa, look at so many other countries. The poor married with the poor, and this one have, the man have this certain disease, a certain thing in the gene, and the woman has a certain gene, and they married, and the child suffered. Right. So are you going to say that all these are demon possessed? Let me say this. Every disease that is a spirit, yes. But don't say that every disease has a demon. No. When we use the word demon, it sounds terrible. But in the Greek word, it's a demonized. Means that there is a bad spirit of life in it. Now, that's what Bob Ben said, the cancer, that's a spirit. Huh? And if you want to use the word demonic spirit, you can use it, but make sure when you use it. Means that, what is spirit? Spirit is life. You understand what it is? Okay, if you have a disease here, a cancer is hitting in your hand, that is a spirit that's there, a spirit of life that is there. But it is a cancerous life. It's a life that's not normal, so to speak, that has done something to the body here. So to say that if you are a Christian, a true believer, and you have cancer, and you have this cancerous tumor, are you demon possessed? You know, I can see how people teach some of these weird things. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 7. More scriptures and we read. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul said here, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will to present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find out. Yeah, of course, in my flesh, there's nothing good. Huh? Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16. To 24. Chapter 5, verse 16 to 24. Now I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusts against us, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, one to the other, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also live in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So you see, there's a difference between the Spirit and the flesh. Yeah, the flesh have no good things. Now, in the flesh have no good thing. The Bible even says that the flesh have no good thing. In witchcraft, hatred, variance, lasciviousness, and uncleanness, fornication. Does it mean that because someone covered, stole something, did something bad, evil, unclean thing, does it mean that he is a demon possessed? Let's say the Christian in his weakness was tempted, and he go in to seek up a harlot and lie and lay with her. So you can, do you say that, oh, this is it, there's no, this is the flesh is unclean, so because of what he went to the prostitute, therefore he is a demon possessed? No. We use the word as a Greek word we use, demonize. You know, when Jesus was, after he was baptized, immediately the Spirit of God drove him to the wilderness to fast. The moment he went out into the desert to fast, what happened? Remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? The Word of God descended upon him. The incarnation took place. He went to witness a fast 40 days and 40 nights. And through during those 40 days and 40 nights, what does the Bible tell us? He was being demonized by the devil. They came and tempted him and they tormented him. They don't let go. That's why we use the word demonize. The Bible uses the word demonize. Temptation comes by the demon. Huh? Do you understand? So when you have a disease, what you, all of a sudden you say some bad words, some you curse, you get angry, you curse. Huh? The devil has demonized you to speak those words. But it doesn't mean the devil possess you. And one thing here is this. Christian, born again Christian, I'm not talking about, you know, a preacher. One preacher, like from what I read, he was saying that, you know, he has seen Christian demon possessed in many churches, and that's why he prayed for them and all this. Really? Are they really demon possessed? And the first part there, if they are demon possessed, the question is something wrong with the scripture. For did not the Bible say, greater is he that, come on. Yeah, that liveth in me than he that is in the world. If you are the Spirit of God in you, how can the devil come and live in you? You tell me. I want to show you this picture here about the tabernacle of Moses. Because I see there is this, you know, in charismaticism, Pentecostalism, you know, a lot of people have all got a sensation. I read, well, you can see it anyway, because we are living in a world where we have all these so-called schools. But I saw one that said, school for training apostle and prophet. Apostolic and Prophetic Training Bible Institute. Wow. You know, maybe I should set up one, huh? Set up a school to train people to be apostle, train people to be a prophet. Wow. How do you do that? You only see this when the Pentecostal came in, followed by the charismatic, that even make it worse. They even teach you how to operate the gift. Oh my. That was what happened out there in Malaysia, in Penang, when this Peter Tan. He has a very big church. He teaches people how to operate the gift. Oh boy. And you know, he wanted me to join him in this charismatic movement. I said, no, I'm not going to sell my soul for the things that I have received from God. I said, you be careful what you are doing when he comes, man. You know why? In 2 years' time, he committed fornication, took the money, got a few million dollars, and ran to Australia. I said this many times. When you have false doctrine that you believe in, remember this. Demons feeds on doctrine. Right? We know God is in his own word. Am I not right? Yes. So we feed on God's word. But demon also feeds on words. What words? False doctrine. And people will just come and they will go and eat it. And this very same man, Lord, his name is John Edgar. Oh, he's very well known. Many of them say, you know, there are others that oppose him. But he said this. He said, Christian can be demon possessed. And he used the example of what Jesus said. He said, because humans are tripartite, body, soul, and spirit. Right? And Jesus Christ went to a temple and cast out demons. You see? And then he gave that example. Look at the tabernacle of Moses. I hope you still remember the tabernacle of Moses. Okay. You look at the tabernacle of Moses. If you remember, there are three parts there. So he's using these three parts to represent the body, soul, and spirit. That's okay. We have, first of all, the most holy place. Do you know where the most holy place is? Where the Shekinah glory is? Where the Ark of the Covenant is? Okay. The second one is the holy place, which is just next to it. That's where the priest, Aaron's sons, goes in there to minister the word. The other Levites, they are not called to do that. They cannot go in. Then the outer court. The outer court is where the priests do the sacrifice. So now, he used it there, the outer court, the body, the holy place, the soul, and the most holy place, the spirit. Oh, that's okay, that's wonderful, that's alright to use this as a tank. And then you know that the tabernacle of Moses has a fence, separating the activity that's inside the tabernacle from the outside, right? Nobody else goes into the outer court except the Levite and the priest. And this is all the activity of sacrifice. Now, this man said this. He said, when Jesus went into the temple and cast out all these money changers and people who buy and sell, right? And he said, see, that shows what? That shows that a Christian represented by the temple, represented by the tabernacle of Moses, have been invaded by demons, possessed, a demon goes in and possessed. Now let's look at the tabernacle. Let's look at the temple. This temple is Herod's temple. Alright, you know Herod's temple? Herod was he loved architect, and so he helped them beautify it. So when you look at this tabernacle, the temple, okay, now if you look at the temple proper structure, where you have the most holy place, and the court of the priests, it's all right there, okay? But then there is the places outside that building, or the temple actual, okay, is where you have the court of the woman, the courts of the Gentile. And then, on your left-hand side at the bottom there, you can see, this is that row of shops underneath it. It's called a royal store. There is where the money changers are, where they sell the animals there. They are all the places where they sell. This is where Jesus went to chase them out. That is not the temple actual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, me, I'm a temple. I'm a temple God also. Is that alright? No, you understand what I'm saying? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Am I not right? Okay, look at me. I'm a temple. This is the flesh. First layer. Then the soul is in that spirit. The spirit is that worshiping God. Right? How would the devil get into me and possess me? The devil could be only around me on the outside. He could be outside tormenting me. Yes. You understand? Tempting me. That's why Jesus chased those, cast out all these money changers, all this, because they are selling there, trying to demonize the whole place, that is to say, where people are going in there, they are making a nuisance of them, of the environment, the place of God, where people are going there to worship God. Do you understand? That's why when we come to God to worship God, whatever is outside, whatever is there, are the cares of this world, put it out. Let this temple worship God in spirit and in truth. Let all the cares of your outside world cast it away as we enter into the worship of God. Do you understand now? Let's go Mark chapter 7, verse 27. Mark chapter 7, verse 27. And now it says here, how be, 27, I'm reading, sorry. So reading 20. Alright. Okay. Verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dog. Okay, then we have Luke 11:24. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. You know, the Greek, the first one that we read in Mark, this woman was a Greek, a person. She's not a Jew. You got it? You understand me? Okay. This is not a Christian. She is not a believer. She's a Greek. She's not a Jew. So she doesn't know about the Messiah. But she here, that's why I said, asked a question earlier. When people, all these Gentiles, they come to be healed, or even the Jews, how many people really believe that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior, that he was the Son of God? The majority of them, they were seeking a physician, right? They were seeking for healing. So this woman is crying out to Jesus to heal her daughter, right? And you know what? When Jesus said that, this preacher said, you see, it can be a person can be demon possessed. I don't understand how he's arrived at this. Now, the other thing is this. When you read in Luke, the second one that we are reading in chapter 11, verse 24. Is that right? Here was a man whose demon was cast out. And Jesus said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man who was demon possessed in the first place, was this man a Christian? Was this man a believer? Obviously not. So when the demon was cast out from the man, he went out, and the demon went out, they'll go out, and then they couldn't find a place to dwell. You know, as I said, demons like to demonize people and try to influence the stay on a person, possess, or else they'll possess animal or possess a tree. Whatever, they want to possess someplace because they're just wandering around. So now, when they couldn't find a place, they come back to this same man. Hey? It's empty. That's why he said, in verse 24. And finding none, he said, I will return to my house when I came out. So the man is the demon's house. So now, who is this man? Is this man a Jewish true believer or what? You see, one thing I must understand is, if we are born again, if we are truly born again, who lives in our heart? Who lives in us? The Holy Spirit. No, but people said, but some of these preachers said, you see, I have been in the churches, I've cast out demons, Christians are demon possessed. How? Are you sure that they are Christian to begin with? There are a lot of people that go to church, they call themselves Christian. Are they really Christian? Are they really born again? Jesus said, you know, the Bible tells you, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When a man has demon possessed, you cast it out. His spirit needs to be filled by the Spirit of God. So that's why you lead him to the Word of God to get him to understand and believe the Bible. And you're going to tell him otherwise when you go out. You see, that's why many people commit a sin. If they don't come back to the Lord, or me, accept Christ as Savior, they go and do whatever they want. The demon will come back after him. Sure. The same thing that he got out of will come back to him and will be, and the same spirit that stay in him, that will bring other more spirits. And that's why it's important for us believers to know that because we are a child of God, we are Christians, we are children of God, we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And how could these people say that Christian can be demon possessed? No. Christian can be demonized, not as a form of possession. The demon may repress him, suppress him, make him go into a state of depression. Yes. How many of you have been depressed before? Yeah, we do. We go through life and sometimes we pastor, we got depressed for a few days because we are upset about things and that. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we are demon possessed. No. Demonizing you is trying to suppress you, get you to get away from God and all this. See, he cries, you believe, you worship God. Does he care? And that's why you got into this trouble. That's why you lost your job. And things like that. And when you got a disease, Lord, why did I get cancer? And somebody will come and tell you, demon will come and tell you, see? God doesn't love you. That's why you have cancer. God doesn't love you because of this. All these are the work of demons. And the Bible, the Greek word used the word demonized. In English, in the Greek word, it goes to the word demon, not as a form of possession. Huh? Christian, or we will say, now how shall I put it? Christian can have demon attached to them, but the demon cannot possess you. Or to say, a Christian can possess a demon, but a demon cannot possess a Christian. Are you getting me? Am I clear on this? Huh? Yes. That's just not what you find out in the book of Job. A man who has Jehovah, a man who loved God. And then the Bible said that Satan complained, right? How is it so? People think the devil go up to hell, devil go up to the throne of God, and they thought, no. It's a somebody, a worshipper, that came together into the meeting, a worship place, and then whispered that. You see, somebody let the devil, you know, hitch a ride on them. It's like in our life, every day we go about our life, the devil is trying to hitch a ride. Come on, give me a ride. Right? And you let him take a hitchhiker. He's a hitchhiking devil. And then you let him come into your life, into your car. And you drive him wherever you go. So remember that. The Christian cannot be demon possessed. But a Christian can possess a devil. and make a mess of his, not only his own life, but other people's life. May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, Lord, for your grace. The Lord, we are grateful, Lord, truly for that which you have given us, thy word. We pray, Lord, that the little thing that we learn every time will be kept in our heart, Father, and that we grow in thy grace from day to day. I pray the Lord, all that receive and understand truth, Father, will live the life of Christ Jesus. Asking that you bless, Father, now, in Jesus' name. Amen.